Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. He is the newest member of the Prince George's County Council, but he is no stranger to county politics. Edward Burroughs III won a special election for the County Council's District 8 seat last month. This after years on the county school board. Well, tonight, we talk to him about the new job in county politics. You can talk to him as well. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at H. Fisher, WHUR, or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Councilmember Burroughs, congratulations. Thank you so much for joining the conversation.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm glad to be here.
So, first of all, I guess, you know, in accordance with Black History Month, you've made a little history as well, being the youngest ever elected to the board. Talk to me about that. How does that feel?
I'm just so honored. I want to thank the residents of District 8 for their faith in me. And so I'm excited to get to work on their behalf. Certainly an honor being the youngest, but at the end of the day, what matters is what we're able to deliver together on behalf of the people of Prince George's County.
Before we go into your specific job, I do want to talk a little bit about where you came from. You've been in county politics, even at 29, for quite some time. You were a student board member for the school board first, and then, of course, on the board as a district representative on the board. When you look back at your time on the board, particularly as it appears that the board could very well go back to a fully elected board and not the hybrid, what are your thoughts about that?
It is my hope that they return to a fully elected board. It is completely dysfunctional having someone who is not on the board appoint the chair and vice chair of the board. And when you have so many appointed members, they're not accountable to anyone. Not even the person or the body that appointed them can hold them accountable. When you have a fully elected board, each district can hold their member accountable. And that is so important. So I sincerely hope that our senators and delegates follow our county executive's recommendation to return to a fully elected school board. Because what we have now is clearly not working.
Mm-hmm. Do you think your work was done? I mean, obviously, this opportunity, came up when that seat was vacated. If that had not happened, was it your plan to eventually run for county council?
No, The former councilwoman, Monique Anderson Walker, was selected by Peter Franchot to be her lieutenant governor. And when that happened, a lot of us knew that the District 8 seat would come open. We thought it would be open for the June election. None of us knew that it would be open sooner than that.
It happened fast, yeah.
To run in the June election, but when Councilmember Walker stepped down to be a full-time candidate for lieutenant governor, by law, the election had to occur within 60 days. And so it was a very condensed election, but it occurred during Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's. The election was on Tuesday, January the 4th, and the day before we had the big snowstorm. So there were a lot of factors at play, but it was a surprise for sure.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk to you about a little bit of the news that's happening literally right now. The Montgomery County School Board is considering dropping mask mandates. Also, Alexandria City School Board as well as Fairfax County School Board, all three of them are meeting right now to consider the same. what would be your vote if you were still on the school board as it relates to mask mandates in Prince George's?
No, I would really have to look at our science. I'm happy that we're coming out of the pandemic. I know that we still have a ways to go. And so I'm not sure that I would vote remove them at this time, because it's, while annoying, it's a small sacrifice to keep people safe. So I would really rely on our health department to advise the board about what's safe. But my initial reaction is it's annoying. I hate wearing them for sure, but it seems to me to be a small sacrifice that we are all going through to keep everyone safe.
We are talking to Edward Burroughs III. He is the newly elected District 8 Prince George's County Council member. He's answering our questions and yours. If you have a comment or a question for him, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I don't think I'd be overstating it to say that while you were on the school board, you were outspoken. You were considered a bit of a muckraker and the like. Are you planning to continue that same posture, or are you going to change your political strategies when dealing with the Prince George's County Council?
It is my desire to work collaboratively with everyone. And on areas where we agree, the council will know that they will not find a stronger advocate. However, if there is something that I do not believe is in the best interest of the people of Prince George's County, I'm not going to sit idly by and just let it happen without lending my voice in opposition. And so, it's my goal to work collaboratively with everyone. It's my goal to pass legislation that uplifts people in this county. But I will not be a rubber stamp for anyone. I will not sit by and just let anything happen in my district, especially if it's not going to be in the best interest of the people of Prince George's County. And while I was a vocal member of the school board, I still got 72% in the last election. So everyone knew exactly what they were voting for when they sent me. And so I think it would be not wise to just completely change up. But of course, I hope to grow and work with people diplomatically. That's always a plus. But, the public expects people that's going to fight vigorously on their behalf. And that's what I intend to do.
Are you at all concerned being so young and with so many seasoned members of the board? Now, are you concerned that if you do speak out about something that one or several of them may say, they're there now, you just got here, you need to sit back and see how things are done? And if that happens, how might you react to that? Because, you're new to the county council, but you're not new to county politics.
I hope to learn, but council culture and build strong rapport with my colleagues to forge consensus around areas where we agree. There are some issues that we absolutely need to tackle. When I knocked thousands of doors here in District 8, so many of our seniors simply could not afford to pay these exorbitant property taxes. When I knocked doors and spoke to people who are middle-aged or younger, they're having problems finding work in the county. And so on those issues, I'm going to be a fierce advocate, but I hope to do so in a collaborative way where I can,
Have you, since being elected, have you had a chance to sit down with the county executive, Angela Alsobrooks?
I've spoken to the county executive, right after the election, and we spoke again a few days ago. She came to my reception. So I look forward to working with her on areas where we see eye to eye.
What is your relationship with the county executive? How would you characterize it?
I would say it's forming, it's growing, hopefully in the right direction. I think it's growing in the right direction. I want her to be successful, because when she's successful, the county is successful. Now, there are areas where I'm going to push because I believe that they're important around property taxes, lower property taxes for our senior citizens, ensuring that when we have these large government contracts, we require these contractors to recruit, hire, and train Prince George's County residents like Mary and Barry did in Washington, D.C. Also, cleaning up the dysfunction that's on the school board that is being led by the chair of the school board. I mean, those are areas that are important. And, you know, we're going to have to work together on those issues. And so far, it's been nothing but positivity.
Let us hope it stays that way. Let's go to the phone lines at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking to Edward Burroughs III. He is the newest member of the Prince George's County Council, won a District 8 seat special election last month. Let's go to Mary. Mary, calling from Fort Washington. Thanks for calling, Mary. What's on your mind?
Well, first of all, Councilman Burroughs, I want to say congratulations.
Thank you.
And I think you answered a part of my question, and my question is, what is your vision for the embedment regarding your constituents in District 8?
No, thank you so much for the question. As I kind of alluded to starting out, it's so important that we provide property tax relief to our senior citizens as soon as possible. As we all know, our senior citizens are on a fixed income, and I've met so many senior citizens who've lived in this county for decades who simply can no longer afford to live here. And charity alone is not going to fix that problem. We need to do a comprehensive review and property tax reduction for our seniors. I also want to make sure that when we have these large government contracts, as I stated before, that we require these contractors to recruit, hire, and train people who live in this county. And we are spending millions and millions every year, and it's so important that we reinvest that money right back into the county and that we provide training to all Prince George's, but especially our young people, to do those jobs. I also hope that we create a very robust program for our young people who are in crisis. I saw a press conference a few weeks ago about the number of young people who are caught up in the juvenile justice system. Unless there's a meaningful intervention, their behavior will only get worse. And so we need to provide wraparound services, counseling, job training, placement, mentorship for our young people who are in crisis. I believe in Prince George's County, we have no throwaway children. So we have to figure this out and work collaboratively to do that. You know, I just left the school system, and I hope to do more for the school system or the council because there's a lot more support that the school system deserves. And so those are some of the things that I'm interested in doing.
Mary, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking to Edward Burroughs III. He is the newest member of the Prince George's County Council. He now sits in District 8 after a special election last month. If you have a comment for him, if you have a question for him, if you want to talk to him about his vision for District 8 or an issue in District 8 or even elsewhere in the county. If you have a question or a comment, we invite you to give us a call. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are going to take a break, but Mr. Brothers calling from Lanham, we are going to talk to you next. So please do not hang up. We will be taking your call after the break. And don't forget, you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Insight segment via podcast on WHUR.com. And don't forget, you can download the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone and hear the program live in its entirety. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. We'll be back in a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we are sitting down with the newest member of the Prince George's County Council, District 8 Council Member Edward Burroughs III. If you have a comment, if you have a question for him, lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let's go back to the phone lines. Mr. Brothers, calling from Lanham. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, good evening, gentlemen. Hey, first off, I just want to say congratulations to Mr. Burroughs.
Thank you.
But I have a question. It's pretty direct to you. I want to know, what will you do personally and professionally to try to steer clear of controversy? Because I feel like you embody a generation that equates controversy with action. And, you know, for anybody that may have been paying attention or know your history, that's been a thing that's come to the surface often. So moving forward in this new role, what are you going to do personally and professionally to steer clear of that?
You know, to me, there's a difference between controversy and something that's bad. What I'm going to focus on is progress. You know, how do we uplift working class people in Prince George's County? How do we help our young people in Prince George's County? Controversy could be two members of the council, two different bodies disagreeing. You know, that becomes a public skeptical. I'm not concerned about that. What I'm concerned about is how do we deliver? There are so many people counting on this council and our school system and our county government and our police department every single day. So it's important that we make progress. And so, you know, I'm not or against, you know, controversy. But what I want to have happen is for us to progress. And you mentioned my track record. And I'll tell you, which might not be as controversial, but I've passed more things on the school board in the last 2 years than the entire board combined. You know, I wrote the policy to make financial literacy a graduation requirement because parents can't pass down what they don't know. And we teach so many different subjects. But teaching our young people the basics about saving and investing is just a strong financial foundation is important. Now, that didn't get a lot of play in the media, but it was important, and I did that in my history. I also instituted the first project labor agreement in our school system's history that required contractors to hire people who live here and pay them a prevailing wage and give them health care and benefits. You know, that at first was seen as controversial, but it passed. In the middle of this pandemic, we put Prince Georgians to work. I can go on and on about the history, but what I'm concerned about is delivering for the people of Prince George's County. And certain things might be controversial, but you know, that's not a barometer, in my opinion, for success or failure. You know, failure, in my opinion, is not doing all that we can to uplift the residents that we serve.
Okay. Mr. Brothers, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Scott, calling from Fort Washington. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. First of all, I want to congratulate Mr. Burroughs. And I also just wanted to thank you so much for your support in regards to helping the citizens get some clarity regarding the Southern K school that was being built there. We really appreciate all of your efforts in helping us at least get some information regarding the school. Thank you.
Thank you, Scott.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
Glad to have done that. I think it's so important that when we have these large development sites that we come to the community ahead of time, not once the contracts have been signed. And so, you know, it's my hope to continue to be transparent and forthright with the residents of the county around development projects.
Well, Scott, thank you so much for your phone call. I do want to talk to you a little bit about coalition building. It seems that, you left the school board, and of course, school board member, Rahila Ahmed, she's running for state senate. You were part of this coalition of outspoken young people on the school board. How are you going to build that kind of coalition and support on this well-established county council. I think that was a fascinating thing to observe, just from, you know, from the outside. But the county council is a different animal, or is it?
No, that's a great question. You know, ultimately, coalition building is so important because you cannot pass anything or do anything by yourself. You literally need a certain amount of votes in order for something to pass. And so, at the school board, initially, we didn't have enough votes to pass anything. And so we went out into every single district of this county and recruited and campaigned vigorously for people. And by the end of it, we represented 7 out of 9 of the elected seats. The council is a little different because we have these term limits. And so that takes care of some of the issues potentially. But I look forward to supporting candidates that are going to be people focused. And there's an election in June, and several coalitions are forming, and I look forward to being a part of that.
Mm. Have you spoken to Police Chief Malik Aziz?
I spoke with him briefly. I have not met with him yet. Actually, we were in a restaurant at the same time, and he lives here in District 8. And so we spoke briefly, but I look forward to getting on his calendar and us meeting in the near future.
What do you want to talk to him about?
Yeah, I would love to speak with him. As I said, I saw the press conference that he did regarding the amount of young people committing carjackings in the county. And as you know, professionally, my day job, aside from the Board of Education, was in the state's attorney's office. And I helped run a lot of our juvenile diversion programs. And what I want to talk about is how do we wrap our arms around these young people when this happens? Because if you do not, all the data shows that behavior just gets progressively worse. And so how do we catch them earlier on? How do we have our Department of Social Services, our Parks and Rec, school system? How do we truly invest in this population? Because simply locking them up in the juvenile system is not going to work. They're going to be released in a very short period of time. And if there's not a meaningful intervention, their crimes is going to progress. So, I want to talk to him about that. Also want to talk to him about some speed racing issues on 210. 210 is a very dangerous road, and I look forward to collaborating with him and our other law enforcement partners around that. Also want to talk to him about some of these economic crimes. You know, there are... As I was out campaigning, I met several senior citizens who were dealing with economic crimes. And so there are a host of things that I would like to talk to him about. But chief among them is, what are we doing and how can we support our young people in a better way?
As it relates to the juvenile diversion program, and I'm just really curious about that. What do they tell you when you have the opportunity to speak to them? Because the answers may not always be in the brain trust. The answers may be in the brains and in the lives of those that are that are affected.
No, absolutely. You are spot on with that. And I would love maybe in the future to bring some of them to speak with you on your show. But these are good people. Essentially, they are becoming products of their environment. If you go to the juvenile court, it's a sea of black and brown boys mostly, and if you ask them what they want to be, they're very interested in activities and sports, and they have, the streets in some regard have hardened them, but to their core, they're good people who want to survive. There are a lot of economic challenges. There's a lack of family support for a lot of them. And so when you're coming from a single home and because of your grades, you can't play sports, extracurricular activities, you're going to find something to do with your time. And oftentimes that's, for some, not the most productive or positive things. And so, that's one of the things that I worked on the school board. I initially wanted to get rid of the GPA requirement in order to play sports. And then our principals they were not too happy about that, and we compromised. We have this probationary period. But the reason that I wanted to do it is because so many of our young people who are not doing well academically, they're not doing well socially, they're not able to engage in the one thing they love, and that might be football, that might be basketball. And so instead of being in school, after school for all those hours, they're out in the community. And the safest place, in my view, for a child that is struggling is in the presence of a loving, caring adult. And that positive peer pressure that those teams and those coaches provide are absolutely essential to keeping some of our young people out of trouble. And so we really need to rethink how we uplift that population. And you're right. It starts by talking to them. I've had several young people who had charges pending tell me they need mental health support and counseling, therapy. You know, there's a lot that they've seen. As you know, during the pandemic, our Prince George's County unemployment rate skyrocketed. And so what happens when the unemployment rate skyrockets? They were not in school, so they're not in the presence of a mandatory reporter. There are food insecurity challenges. There are a host of issues and stress that they are observing. Also, domestic violence increased under the pandemic. And so not only are people unemployed, but domestic violence went up under the pandemic, and they're stuck at home watching this. So there are a lot of factors at play that impact why young people do what they do, and we really have to get to the root cause and address that.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking to Edward Burroughs III. He is the newest member of the Prince George's County Council elected during a special election to the District 8 seat. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call. Lines are open at 202-319-7810. I do want to talk to you about redistricting. That is always a touchy subject, no matter where it comes into play. But in particular, as you know, the Court of Appeals, the Maryland Court of Appeals, is going to consider the redistricting case. What is your feeling about redistricting? I mean, you're new to this seat, not new to politics, but all of this will affect the entire county council, including yourself. And there have been a lot of rumblings about how the original map was, how the original map came about, that it was crafted in secret, and there were some county council members who participated in that, and I don't want to get into the weeds of that, but just your thoughts on redistricting, and shouldn't this be a completely transparent process?
Absolutely. And this, as you asked the question, I thought about Mr. Brothers' question around controversy. Let's just take a moment to talk about what happened. There was a nonpartisan redistricting commission that worked for months in a very transparent fashion and created a map that generally had widespread support and consensus. And then, in the 11th hour, a member of the council was able to redraw the map and draw out three potential challengers of sitting council members and then approve that map. And so then members of the public sued and they lost in the Prince George's Circuit Court and now it's before the Court of Appeals. Am I controversial if I say that the commission map should stand because that was the that was a transparent map? You know, it's like, it is what it is. You know, it's just not, you know, I don't mean to be controversial about this, but I believe that if you are trying to be elected, or if you're trying to control who gets elected, the time and place to do that is at the ballot box. I don't believe you should be able to draw out your opponents months before the election. a lot of the candidates that they drew out were already campaigning. They already had purchased material. They had already started garnering support. And most of these candidates came very close to winning last election. And so I support the nonpartisan, transparent redistricting map. And I hope that the map that was proposed and passed that drew out all of the challengers, I hope it goes down because it was wrong. And if I were on the council, I would have voted against it because some things are too important. And I understand that there's a vested interest of some to control the Prince George's County Council. But at the end of the day, you take your message before the people of the county and you let them vote on who they want in those seats. But to draw out your opponents, I think, is low. And I know we're better than that. And so I'm hopeful. Now, I don't even know what the rules are yet of the council. You know, not to talk about litigation, but I'm in huge support of the nonpartisan map that kept everyone in their district.
I do want to go back to something that you spoke about earlier. You spoke about the seniors in your district and their concern about property taxes and the like. I would argue that it's not just the seniors who are concerned about that. I remember having a conversation with former county executive Rusher and Baker, where this was years ago, where he kind of said, you know, to me, I believe he said it to me on the air, you know, you need to move on back home to Prince George's County. And I said, I can't afford to live in Prince George's County, and I have a good job. And so, you know, whether it's seniors or anyone else, this issue of the highest property taxes in the state will not just go away. And yet, you know, all jurisdictions, but in particular Prince George's County, for schools and other things, they need money. So, you know, what is your plan? What is your philosophy for balancing the high property tax rate in Prince George's with the need for money in Prince George's County, and trying to provide some kind of relief for those who live in the county now, who can least afford it, those seniors that you spoke about?
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it goes without question that we have to build our business tax base. We cannot continue to run the entire county government primarily on the backs of our homeowners. And that's what occurs now. And you're right. I knocked on doors of people of all ages who were complaining and suffering because of the property taxes being so high, most notably our seniors. And so the first bill that I will co-sponsor with Councilmember Tom DeNoga for District 1 is to do a 20% property tax reduction for seniors who live in their home for a certain period of time. So that is a bill that's in. I'm joining Tom DeNoga on that as his co-sponsor. And hopefully that will be a step in the right direction. But you're right. I mean, this is an issue that we need to look at for everyone. And I hope over time, as we build our commercial tax base, we will shift some of that burden onto our business community.
Speaking of, you know, economic development, I'm sure you remember the Amazon warehouse fiasco that happened pre-COVID. So that didn't happen. So where is the next big job opportunity, the big employment opportunity for Prince Georgians? How do you, you know, how do you sell Prince George's to a big employer now when there was so much pushback with the Amazon warehouse incident or issue?
Yeah, you must treat the homeowner and the resident of Prince George's County with a certain level of respect and dignity. Now, there's no way that you go into a community and they promise you all of these amenities and services and shops and restaurants, and then without any notice, like, oh, wait, we're going to put a warehouse in the middle of your community without even telling you. And so, you know, I think my approach to development will be a little different in that you should really engage the community in the beginning. Because if you wait till the end and it's something that is unacceptable to the community, you'll have an issue like Amazon that was unfortunate because, you know, we for sure needed the partnership and the jobs, but at the same time, you have people who built their financial ability off of their homes they purchased in this particular community, and they knew nothing about it. And so I would encourage businesses and corporations to absolutely come to Prince George's, invest in Prince George's, but also be respectful of the people who live there. And don't, I feel like there's a culture in some of the development community that you can just, hey, work out your development deals with your council member and the county executive, and you'll be fine. Not necessarily. You really do need to build strong relationships and foundations with the civic leaders and community groups and homeowners in the area that you are seeking to build in on the front end.
And speaking, you know, of development, and maybe this is too soon, but no, maybe not. Maybe it's never too soon. There is, you know, a lot of discussion about moving the Washington Commanders. I'm still trying to figure out the name. but, you know, Northern Virginia is courting, and, you know, your thoughts about that, that is a huge, economic engine when football season is in play. And, you know, for some teams, they've been in their communities forever. This one, okay, what, 20 years or so? Your thoughts about, you know, the possibility of the push me, pull you of the team moving to somewhere else?
You know, I hope that we can continue our partnership with the Commanders. They've become a staple in our community, and I believe it's in the strategic best interest of the county to retain them. And so I have not fully been briefed on that subject as of yet, but I hope to be a part of that team that convinces them that Prince George's County is worth staying in.
So how, you know, I have a handful of minutes left. Okay, you're in the seat. You've just mentioned that you would be a co-sponsor for legislation regarding, you know, property taxes. Can you give me a little bit more about what you believe your vision for your seat, for your count, and for the county as a whole would be going forward? This is obviously a new step. You've only been on the council for a week and a half or so. How does it really feel to be there? And when you begin to think about what your plan is going forward, what would you say it is?
That's a great question. You know, at this point, I am learning a lot. You know, yes, I've served on the school board for over a decade, but this is a little different. So I'm really learning and reading a lot, and, studying a lot, and meeting with a lot of individuals. As we speak right now, I'm here working with a nonprofit that's doing a lot of community work here in District 8. And so I am constantly, either I'm in session, I'm meeting with community members, I'm meeting with individuals who are trying to bring something to District 8. And so it's been a whirlwind. And, you know, I don't think it's going to slow down anytime soon. But as far as kind of core tenets of my platform, is ensuring that we do not raise property taxes in the middle of this pandemic. We have so many families struggling, dealing with the economic impacts of COVID-19. Now is not the time to raise property taxes. And in fact, it's time to lower them, especially for some of our very vulnerable populations like our seniors. I also want to make sure that as we spend all of this money that we spend every year, that we require these contractors to recruit, hire, and train people who live here in Prince George's County. We have so many labor union halls that are in Prince George's County. I believe there are 18, from electrical workers to the plumbers to the steam fitters, the painters, all of these things. And we spend this money anyway doing construction and renovations. And so I think it's important that we partner with them and our MDE community to create jobs for people who live here. I also think it's important that we create as many opportunities for our young people as possible. And I mentioned his name earlier, Mayor Marion Barrett, because he's a personal hero of mine. And I think he focused on what mattered most, and that was uplifting people, and not just in words or inspiration, but economically. And so I hope to focus on those issues as well. And then I've met so many, and I've gotten to know so many members of the council who also have priorities. I look forward to working with them on areas that they care about. I care a lot about young people. I want to make sure that our young people have all the opportunities that we can afford them, not just in the school system, but after school and over the summertime. I care about mental health. There's so much going on in our communities, and we saw during the pandemic our suicide hotline, reach new levels of callers, people calling in need of assistance. So how do we be proactive in those standards? In Fort Washington, in certain parts of my district, they want quality retail and restaurants. So that's also something that I'm interested in and being supportive of. And so, I agree with Ms. Alsobrooks that we are the crown jewel, and we have an amazing county. So I just hope to join a team and be a part of making this county all that it can be.
Well, it looks like you have your work cut out for you, particularly as it relates to, the economic development piece, that, the retail piece, the restaurant piece. It seems to be a constant battle, and I hope that you win, and hopefully, we will continue to see good things come to the school district, to the school board, even after you're gone, because you'll still have to interact with them, and so I think it'll be interesting to watch your growth. Controversial or not. So, Edward Burroughs, thank you so much for spending some time with us. I appreciate it. Good luck to you, and be safe.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity. I look forward to talking with you soon.
Absolutely. That is the Daily Drum for this Thursday, February 24th. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.